we're doing this, I hope you know you take the time to either write the verses down in comparison, that maybe you make a mark in your Bible, because what I see is I see people that grasp this truth that I grasped 5 years ago. That's not a long time, really, 5-6 years ago, and still have trouble when somebody says something, being able to point the scriptures out to why they believe what they believe. Instead, they'll try to say it, or they'll say, well, there's somewhere in the Bible that says this, or there. That is not a way to defend it, because then it looks like you're defending it and the Word's not defending itself. We need to defend the Word by using the Word. I mean, that's extremely important. And I will tell you, I'm saying that because I can't tell you how many conversations I hear through the week at my work and forget where Scripture is, or try to have an argument without remembering the comparisons. If you can't do that, then it's hard to defend the gospel, you know. And you can confuse even more, you know. So in saying that, there's some things that we touched on last week. We talked about accountability. We talked about the apostles for the grace movement and for the apostle of the grace movement and the apostles of the kingdom gospel. We talked about even the angels, how they would preach an everlasting gospel. And then in Paul's doctrine, he says, do not even listen to an angel in Galatians. So there were some vast differences in that. Okay. One thing I want us to see that I thought was fun to look at, and that was when believers see Jesus. When believers see Jesus in Judaism, and believers see Jesus in Christianity, the difference. Tell you what, if you go to Matthew chapter 24, boy, this scripture used to confuse me like nobody's business. Matthew chapter 24, and look at verse 30. I tell you what, we'll start in verse 36. Now, this used to be read to me when I was young. It would scare me to death because I thought that some would be taken away and I'd be left here on earth. But if you study the Scriptures, it's the fact that those who are left here on earth are the ones that are going to save. The others are judged. But this Scripture, I'm telling you, would motivate me. And you know, we talk about scare the hell out of you. That's what they would use it for. The sad thing is, within 2 weeks, because I didn't understand, I wasn't scared anymore. It was just something that was a feeling instead of a truth. But I want you to see the difference in this, in Christians seeing Jesus and those who see Jesus in Judaism, the difference, okay? I got a little background music. I'm kidding. You're good. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 36. Now you said that, it helped remind me to turn my phone down. Verse 36, 24:30-36. Here we go. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, let's notice that. It's the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? He's coming to earth. Right? Now, notice verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that in the good man of the house had, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Now this is a prophecy that is going to happen. Okay? And Christ is telling them about this. And of course, when He ascends into heaven, what do they say? He'll return in the same way that He came. Right? But a lot of people will read this and they'll make it as if it's the rapture of the church. Well, it's not. When He comes, those that are taken out of the way are facing judgment. Those that are there are with Him. Right? And so when they see the Lord come, He's coming to stay. Okay? Tell you what, go with me in the same place to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And verse 34. I don't know if y'all were ever taught the other way, but I always was taught the other way. In 17, verse 34. Again, the Lord says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. I just noticed that. I don't like that.
Why one's going to be taken?
I don't like that at all. I've read this 10 times in the last week. It just hit me. Wow. Okay. I'm sorry, I've lost it now.
Maybe Mark will read it somewhere else.
I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left.
Now you have turned the table.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. Let's go on. I am just losing it, man.
I can delete it. Turn to someone.
Yeah, I ain't worried about it. What the heck? Let other people laugh. Verse 36. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And the point is when Christ comes back, and he was told that he would come in the same manner that he was taken away, right? So he's coming to the earth. This is all they know, and all they're looking for is for this kingdom to be set up. Those taken out of the way is judgment. So we see that those who are who see Jesus, who are going to see Jesus, what they believe. Well, turn from here and go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Wow, man. Whenever somebody asks me my favorite verse again, they better read it first, because that's where I'm going. I used to use the verse, I used to love it when they'd say, somebody tell me your favorite verse. I can't remember the verses now, but I always use the one that said, He pisseth on the wall. Because, you know, he didn't know, and he'd turn, okay, let's turn here, he'd look at it, and then where do you go from there? That's when I was this little smart little kid. I'm a lot more spiritual now. Until I just read that verse. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 16. In verse 16 says, For the Lord... Now this is Paul, okay? Some of y'all are still turning. I'll give you time. Here the pages turn. This is important for us to see. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 16, the word says, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them on the earth. Absolutely not. In the clouds. Okay? So the believers in Judaism are watching Him come to earth to set His kingdom up. In the dispensation of grace, Paul teaches that we'll be caught up in the clouds. So which one is it? They're both correct, right? But there is a distinct difference in Judaism and Christianity. A distinct difference, because it says, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Doesn't sound like we're going anywhere else, right? It's interesting, ain't it? There is a difference, okay? So we see how the believers see Jesus is even different. We've touched on this a little bit, but we'll go to it anyway again. Go to Matthew chapter 4 and look at verse 23. Matthew 4:23. If anybody wants a copy of this when we're through, I'll be glad to give you a copy to keep in your Bible. I should have mine kept in my Bible, but I never do for some reason. Look at the blessings. We've talked about this a lot, but hey, while we're going, let's just go. Matthew chapter 4, and look at verse 23. Matthew 4:23, let's look at the blessings. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. What kind of blessings do they have? It's a physical healing, isn't it? It's not something that is on the inside, is it? It's on the outside, okay? Now, go to James chapter 5. Turn to James chapter 5. I can't believe how many times I've read that verse last week. I skimmed it. I didn't read it. I promise you that. James chapter 5, look at verse 14 and 15. Now James, we know, also is a prophecy, ain't it? There's also prophecy in it. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Seems like even their sickness was from sins, wasn't it? That's something I didn't think about, but our sickness doesn't come from our sins unless it's a physical thing that we're doing, like alcoholism or things like that, right? We can be as obedient as we can try to be and still be stricken with sickness, right? Because it's not physical things. But you notice a couple of things here. You see a physical healing. Not only that, it's those who prayed are the ones who need faith. It's not the one that's sick. Now, if you go back to churches today that believe in anointing and healing and they're not healed, you know what they tell that person? You didn't have enough faith. Well, the person reads the scriptures because they use James. He would turn around and he'd say, no, you didn't have enough faith. Right? It's the faith, it's those that were faithful. It was their prayers that healed people. It was their prayers. But the issue here is their blessings were done by what? By physical manifestations that took place. Okay? So we see that. Mark chapter 16. Everybody knows this. Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, look at verse 18. Just for the sake of time. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now this is something that is going to happen, right? It's something that is going. Now, there was healings when Christ was walking the earth because they were going to set that kingdom up if all would have believed. Okay? I personally believe those that were being healed while they were walking on the earth would have lived forever. But then they crucified Christ. Right? I mean, I can see those that being healed and then being of the faith and being forgiven. Those things happened. Their sins went into remission. They would be saved later if they kept the faith. Right? And those things are going to happen. They'll be able to do all kinds of things and they'll be healed. Okay? Because it's a physical blessing that they're receiving. When I first started grasping the gospel of grace, I don't know if you remember, Paul, we had about 80 or 90 youth in a building one night, and we were touching on the scripture that I wasn't supposed to be teaching, and I just brought a big old glass of gasoline. And I just said, look, here we go. If this is pertaining to us today, then I need somebody to come up here and drink this glass. Because I ain't drinking it. No, by the way, nobody came. But yet they want to say we're to follow the whole Bible. Well, you can always take them here. But you know what? There are some scholars, hint, hint, or seminary students that will tell you this is not supposed to be in here. By the way, that's your Baptist seminaries. Carson Newman, I had a debate with some people at Carson Newman that said, yeah, but this was really not in the main scriptures. And that was his argument. That's all he had. And I said, well, show me why you know that, because I need to know. Well, we were just taught that, you know, and I thought, hold it now. Are you serious? That's all they had to defend.
Well, my question would be, okay, if this is not there, how do I know that the things I do believe are supposed to be there?
Yeah. He could probably tell you, but it wouldn't be very clear. But that's the thing. Either the Word means what it says or it doesn't. So, here's your first defense. If somebody tells you that all the Bible is for us, just hand them a glass of gasoline. I mean, honestly, drink up, buddy. I'll heal you. I mean, honestly, let's think about it. But there are physical blessings that were going on. Go with me to Deuteronomy. Yeah, I'm not anymore. Thanks a lot, Hank.
You need to stop.
Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10. The promises went all the way back. When it came to blessings, Deuteronomy chapter 28. You just want me to say it.
Chapter 10, bro.
No. Chapter 28, verse 10. Okay, so seeing Jesus, you got the air, you have the earth for Judaism, the blessings here were physical. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto the land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. You see these blessings that are promised all the way through. So we know good and well that in Judaism, when they see Jesus, He's coming to earth. And their blessings are going to be so manifest that they're going to be physical blessings where they help all the nations. Right? Okay? Let's go to the blessings that are spiritual. Now, what I'd like you to do next week, show me one blessing that is promised in any of Paul's letters that deal with some kind of physical attribute. Show me one. I have looked all week long. Now, Joe and I got in a discussion the other day, and I had to backpedal a little bit because I saw myself being harder than I should have been after I thought about it. This does not mean that God does not use man to bless others. This does not mean that man doesn't see somebody with a need and is used of Christ to give or to help or to edify. I mean, Christ lives in us and He's manifested in us by us doing visible things to help people. There's nothing wrong with that. And I believe He's used that way. And I found myself in talking to Joe that I was kind of almost taking that away. I was being so harsh about it until I thought about it. But the point I'm trying to make is an angel here could show up and can help. An angel is not going to show up and give you something here physically to help you with the blessing. Those are the differences. God has all the power in the world to touch you and heal you. But He is not working with man in that way. Now, He may use somebody, He may use a doctor with all the knowledge and all the medicines to know how to treat you if you're sick. Right? But as far as a miraculous cure, there are no miracles that I see in any of Paul's letters. Right? I just don't see them. They're not in Paul's letters. I don't see them happening today either if Paul is who we're to follow as he followed Christ. So I want to make sure that, you know, and I didn't think about it until we were talking about it, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. I do believe God uses man to bless others, okay? But we're talking about physical blessings of promises, blessings that were promised from the Lord, okay? In Ephesians chapter 1. Everybody says I read too fast or get going too fast. So today I didn't write any scriptures down. I'm turning myself. And let me tell you, I can be slow. It's amazing. I use my computer to hunt the scriptures now. I'll just click and they're right there, right there, right there. I cannot believe, after I started doing this list again, how much slower I am because I used to do nothing but flipping my Bible. Let me tell you, I don't have any problem with computers or whatever, and that's where everybody goes to today. I use it to study, and I'm so much quicker in getting everything done, but I'm going to tell you, I am nowhere near as fast and as fluent as I am flipping through the Word like I used to be. I noticed that in the last few weeks. I used to enjoy knowing I could go right to it. You know, used to, I could got so used to my Bible, I could just open it just about right in the right spot. Well, I'm telling you what, I have backed up on that part, let me tell you. That's all I'm giving you about me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's pretty clear. Our blessings not only are going to be spiritual, but they're going to be in heaven. Who said that? In Christ.
You didn't say it was two words.
So things that are important to remember. That may make you mad. It may make you think, well, that ain't fair. Because I thought that for a long time. In fact, it messed up my prayer life. It really did. But I got to tell you, you know what? When I pray, I probably pray wrong a lot anyway. It's not the fact that He doesn't want us to make our requests known. But as we learn the Scriptures, our requests just become a little bit more intelligent. Because they're wrong from the get-go. Because the Holy Spirit tells us we know not what we need to pray. Right? And so, pray for everything. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let it keep you from praying. The fact remains is, you can pray while you're talking. I mean, when I talk to people, if I'm ministering to somebody, don't think that I'm not praying at that time, at the same time that he's talking to me. I pray to know the knowledge of the Word. Pray when you're going down the road. Pray wherever you're at. You pray all the time. That's exactly right. And the issue is, we don't have to go somewhere and hide to pray or bow our eyes or whatever. We don't have to sit at the table and pray for God to bless the food. Instead, you can minister. You can say, God, I want to praise you for already blessing this food. You see the difference in the way the ministry goes out? I mean, you can use those things. You don't have to say, God, please bless this food and then nourish our bodies. God, I praise you for blessing this food already. And I'm thankful that our bodies can be nourished. You know, our prayers turn into thanksgiving instead of what can you give me? Same thing with our prayers aren't, God forgive me for doing this. I am so wrong and say this. God, I just rejoice in the fact that you have taken this problem to the cross. And I rejoice in the fact that this. Do you see the difference in Judaism and in Christianity? It's night and day different. With our blessings, with everything. So those are the blessings. We use plenty of verses for Judaism because there's a lot of physical things. You know what? There's probably a lot of heavenly blessings that we ain't got a clue about, but the issue is where they're at. And don't sit there and say that you survived Katrina when there was probably many that were saved that did not survive Katrina.
Well, a lot of people think that they get, if they do things good, they get more blessings from that. That the things we do in the spirit or as believers, we get reward for.
Yeah.
We don't get blessing for.
Yeah, we'll be rewarded when we absolutely.
But that, we can't increase our blessings.
No, that's a good point. They can increase their blessings.
They could. And theirs was works plus faith.
That's right. That's right.
Sounds like we all get the same blessings.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we won't all get the same rewards.
Right.
That's exactly right. Good point. We were talking about in Sunday, last Sunday morning, the last couple of weeks, it's the same way with Paul brought it up again Sunday morning, the fact that we don't work to become saints. We're saints, and so we work.
Because we are saints.
Yeah, that's the issue. That's the issue. So, good points on that. I'll tell you what, let's look at another one. Let's look at the issue of the blood of the cross. Go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. This is stuff that I've known as I studied, but it's amazing when I started going through some of these things again, how refreshing it is for us to remember there's a huge difference that people don't understand, and we have much to debate with other people that say they're believers. Much to debate. Matthew 20, verse 28. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Word says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." I thought He died for all. Well, at this point, He came to suffer for what? The house of Israel, right? What about chapter 26? Same book, chapter 26, and look at verse 28. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." Kind of tells us also we're not part of the New Testament, does it? "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Right? We're not a testament at all. We did not have go into a covenant physical promise, did we? We're the body. But you see, when it came to the blood of the cross, it was for many. Tell you what, go to Paul's letter in Romans chapter 5 and look at it. In Romans 5, look at verse 15. In Romans 5:15, the Word says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Who's he talking about here?
Jews.
He's talking about the Jews. This is Paul talking about the Jews. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I'd like to stay on that longer, but I just don't have time. Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 28. Now, Hebrews is for those who are Hebrew. Okay, which ain't you. If it's you, I need you to drink a glass of gasoline. Okay? And I need you to heal my psoriasis, because I'm covered with it. If you can do that for me, I need you, you know, come on. So, look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay? One more. I forgot this one. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. In Mark 10, go to verse 45. I know we're turning long. Wow. Let it be known at 31 minutes into this recording, Ruth just made a mistake. All right. Mark 10, again, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Must have been about Israel at that time. You think? Tell you what. Let's look at what Paul says in two verses and we'll close. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. There are more, but we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, and of course, we'll look at verse 6. 2:6. Okay, well, go to verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Remember that next week. We're going to see something that's kind of neat, but the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Now think about this. We just saw everything to Israel was many, 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 many. Right? What was the due time? In due time, when Christ died on the cross, He forgave all our sins, and all of ours are forgiven, and all of theirs will be forgiven in due time when they're saved, right? They died in their faith. He's already paid the penalty, but all are forgiven. All are. Okay? Go to one more. Romans chapter 5. Remember we read 5:15 a while ago? We'll go a little bit further. Go to 5. And look at verse 18. Tell you what, let's go back to 15 and read the part where he's talking about the Jews to where he gets to the part where he's talking about everybody. It just makes it a lot more clear. And this is Paul in his letter showing the differences in Judaism and Christianity, right? In verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. He just covered history right there in four verses, five verses. Okay? So we see when it comes to Judaism, the blood of the cross was for many. If not, then he couldn't have said what he came for, right? Or those scriptures would be wrong, right? But for the blood of the cross in Christianity, it wasn't only Judaism, but it was for everybody. It's a good stuff. I mean, this is just good stuff. They're going to see him on the earth, we're going to see him in the air. They're going to have physical blessings, and it's going to come to where that is more evident when we're taken out of the way in the air. Okay? Our blessings, we're going to enjoy when we go to the air. Okay? And many did he die for in Judaism for the blood of the cross, because it was for Israel. But when Paul saw the dispensation of the grace of God, all will be forgiven. All was for the blood of the cross, for now and for due time. Right?
Do you ever see any verses where Paul says he was blessed by somebody doing something for him?
He talks about in Romans chapter.
Well, I was looking at 1 Corinthians 16,
mm-hmm.
and near the end of the chapter, he lists a bunch of people.
Yes.
And then he says, "For they have refreshed my spirit in yours." He doesn't call it a blessing; he calls it a refreshment.
That's good.
Or somebody helped him. There may be verses that say that he was blessed.
Yeah. When you say blessed, I was thinking about the same thing. I remember when he talks about the grandmothers in Romans 16 and what they did and the things like that.
But I don't know that he ever used the word.
No, I don't. Now that you say that, I don't see the word blessed. And you would think if he used the word blessed anywhere, he'd use it in Philemon too.
Yeah.
Well,
he talks about loving each other all the time too.
He talks about us edifying each other also.
Everything's for one another.
Yeah. But I don't see where he uses the word blessed.
I hadn't thought about that.
Even though somebody does something to me, that's like a blessing.
Yeah, that's what I am. And I think the word phrase may have been different here as it is for us today.